your heart beats faster and faster.
No longer quaking as the disc descended, that glowing wheel of lights whose coming ended, all waiting and watching. When it landed, the ones within it by one came forth, stalking out awkwardly upon the earth, and those who watched them were confirmed in faith, mysterious voyagers from outer space. Guys, that was a part of a poem called Taken Up by Charles Martin. And hey, it's Sunday night again. This is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
That's right. Paranormal broadcasting, where if you're not confused, you're not paying attention.
So you guys confused yet? Hey, gang, we are back live in studio, and we'll be in the chat room all night long.
That's right, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That's right, little brother, and that would make this tonight's March 28th broadcast.
It would, and who would that make you?
The Ghostman, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And I would be the very returning Sex Panther, Jason Gavin.
Sexy Dancer.
Am I the Gimp?
That's it.
You guys always walk on my Call Me Whiskers. This is it. Call Me Whiskers. That's what I did for Gowan's intro. Yeah. I gotta get one for you, Sean.
Crappy timing.
I know. No, it's Iro. Well, I guess without further ado, we should introduce tonight's guest, right? We're not introducing,
Let's first just say that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Trent Burrison. It's broadcast live on Karma. Let's see, who are we produced by? Absurd Radio, Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
3 minutes in, and Nathan has already dropped the ball.
Tonight's guest, we go deep behind the mysteries of Skinwalker Ranch to find out just what weird stuff is going on out there, guys. Tonight, with field researcher Ryan Burns of HeroParanormal.com, so turn those lights down low. The hunt for the Skinwalker starts now.
And I just want you to know, Jason, it's because I'm just not used to having all these people on the show again.
Zing.
I'm not under any kind of contract.
And with that, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Shut up, fool! Are you heathens and hooligans? You won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. You want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Thank you, Bob the Demon.
Sexy time.
I gotta turn my mic down. I'm too loud here. Hold on.
What's going on, Magnus? You there too? I couldn't hear you.
I'm here. I'm just trying to stay out of the way. You guys are having your own the ball rolling. I'll throw some, jokes in here and there. I'll be at the peanut gallery in the back. Don't worry.
Well, I like to say your name. John Magnus, the Crypto Man. Good friend of the show. Good friend of the family.
I think you've been on about four times in the last 2 months, John, or something like that. And I think each time I've called you something different each time you come on.
Each time. It's fine. Growing up, that's what happened with me. My first name is John. Not that I really like the names. My father has the same name as me. But everyone I know has given me different nicknames.
Boy.
Yeah, boy. Johnny boy. That's right. My hayseed in my mouth right now. My coveralls on. It's great. Very fashionable.
Help Dad, breathe. What are you doing? It's Shark Week.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. I'm lost.
But yeah, so everyone has different nicknames for me. So hey, whatever you want, I work on. Plot is what?
What do you want? Excuse me. Why? With this
shut Sean up.
Well,
man.
I think we should throw out there that our buddy Jason back in the the studio tonight. And Jason, mm-hmm. how was Disney World, you son of a bitch?
It was pretty amazing, actually. I had a great time. I got to ride on some stuff. Like, Tower of Terror is my absolute favorite ride, so we rode it like 84 times.
Yeah.
Now, do you gotta wear platform shoes to get under the height requirement to get in there?
I think he does.
I am not that sure. You only have to be 40 inches, and I'm 54. Shut up, man.
It's okay.
So what else did you do? How much have they changed out there at the...
It's the exact same. Like, you ride... Like, except the Jungle Cruise now, they actually make fun of the ride themselves.
There it is. The backside...
Fantastic story I've ever heard.
There it is. The backside of water, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Boshuga!
They still do those same, like, five jokes.
Jason, have you seen that Weird Al Yankovic actually has a song out now about the Jungle Cruise in Disney World?
I did not know that.
Yep. It's very funny. Gotta check it out.
It's called Skipper Dan, I think, is the name of the song.
Really? I didn't even know Weird Al was still kicking it, man.
I think he's just doing songs and putting them, like, straight on YouTube.
Well, no, he's still touring. I mean, a friend of mine's got tickets for him next month. He tours around. Really? He has there's actually an Alicon, I think. It's actually a whole convention based around Weird Al, and other performers show up. He's there. They partied up.
Wait, Alicon, isn't that the thing where you like to do the pyramid? No, wait, that's Amway.
Amway, yeah.
The funnest night ever.
Yeah, no, he's still kicking. He's one of the top grossing people now. I mean, he's a lot of his stuff has gone gold, I guess. So,
and I love the fact he's still got the curls. He's got the Kentucky waterfall in back. He's still got the mullet, doesn't he?
It's actually just long all around now. It's like Cousin It with Jerry Curl in. It's kind of good.
Did you guys hear that? Kentucky waterfall. I could go either way. Tennessee, Kentucky. I heard that a driver came in this week to work, and he was like, you ever heard of a Kentucky waterfall? And it's a mullet.
Sure. I was nervous at first. I didn't know. I've been through Kentucky. It could be a lot of things.
I was wondering what secret position Sean was using for the last 3 weeks while he's been gone.
Yeah, guys, it's thanks for hanging in there with us. And John, thanks for taking my place while we were doing some tough times, had some tough times, some tough stuff to go through, like you will in life every once in a while. But my butt is planted back here in the studio. I'm back in the seat, and it feels pretty good. It's good to be back, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Well,
I could never replace you.
I voted against it, but they let you anyway.
Well, you smell funny, so your vote don't count. You smell like cheese and feet.
I hate him, John.
I want to crush his face with my feet.
And the love just keeps going on and on here at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And
I love him. Hello, I want to shout out real quick, because not only do we specialize in paranormal here at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, but we also like sports. We love sports, don't we? And the first time ever in NCAA history, Butler University from Indiana goes to the show, baby. Going to the Final Four, which is here in Indianapolis, Indiana, next weekend. So
that's
going to be, Butler's a small school out here in Indiana, and they're going up against, I just forgot. I just watched the game. Who beat Tennessee today, John? Did you see it, Jason?
I saw it, but I forgot the name already. So I'm in the same boat you are.
They take on Michigan State. I think it's Michigan State. So out there by Dougie and them. They're bringing it back here in Indiana, so they're favorites to win it also. Congratulations to Butler. Gotta love a small school, man. Small. It's like the movie Hoosiers. You ever seen that?
No,
I never saw it, Sean.
Hooters going. Hoosiers.
Yeah. Then I didn't see it.
Okay.
So go Butler. Go Butler. That's all I got to say. So what have you guys been doing, man? I've had a couple weeks off. Tonight's show, I'm very excited about. Matter of fact, tonight's guest, Ryan Burns, when we go to him, guys, he's live on an investigation as we speak. And
really?
Yeah, he's going to be live on an investigation, and he's dealt a lot with the Skinwalker Ranch, which a lot of people don't know about, but it's a 465-acre ranch out in Utah. A lot of strange happenings around the ranch. Of course, if you go out on the ranch, you're trespassing, and you shouldn't be out there because you could be killed. it's a very top secret matter that we're going to be discussing tonight. There's a lot of strange happenings around. There's a lot of people trying to keep people their mouths shut. So there could be a black helicopter outside everybody's window tonight, guys. Here, the staff of the G&D show could have black helicopters.
It wouldn't be the first time our system has mysteriously gone down when we were talking about something top secret. Of course, it wouldn't
It's done that a couple times.
It wouldn't be the first time the show has just mysteriously gone down for no reason at all, but the fact that our equipment is about 30 years old. You know, I miss, guys, when we were out filming Extreme Paranormal, the fact that we could basically say we need this equipment, and they brought it to us, and we got a great recording booth and everything. And
nice.
You know, and now we're back to our little microphones and chatting
online.
Yeah,
that ship said that.
I got a little story.
We'll be back.
What's the story?
It's Magic Stone Hill Sickness. You guys want to hear it? Huh? You want to hear it?
Yeah. Let me just light up my Connecticut 99 Rocky Patel cigar. I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut today.
Butthead. All right. I'm doing my own fart noises now, folks. If you didn't know, that was pure me.
That's amazing. You should be a Foley artist.
I tried to do it. Woo, 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 woo. That's how I roll, John.
I actually am considering just setting myself on fire if Sean talks anymore.
Turn the webcam on. Pay-per-view would be great.
Jason, hold off on it because I'm sure we're going to need to do it in the next episode of Extreme Paranormal. So.
Oh. Okay.
This is true.
All those chubby chasers are going to be all upset. Wasn't he the number one guy in that?
No.
I heard all these rumors about you being the top guy on, Gowansamazing.com or something. I don't know.
It was great, too. They had a cover spread of him, a shot, you know, and you opened it up, and right next to him was like two guys, big hairy guys, holding their junk and sweating all over him. It was amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
It was like Christmas at Sean's house.
It was.
And Sean got an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been this weekend, you know, it's funny. You guys have been laughing it up, having fun. I've been laying floor in a kitchen in a house that was built in 1940. Don't let anybody tell you that we're going to do a little weekend project and it's going to be easy because it's bad. It's wrong. It's a conspiracy to put me down, I think. My knees are busted up. I've been hurting all week. Have you guys ever seen that, the pop and click laminate tile?
I heard was Sean's knees are busted up and pop and click. So
right, pop and click. So I've been on my knees.
So what we call that is Sean's Saturday night.
Yes.
You got to pay the rent somehow.
Well, Sean, maybe you can heal your knees with a magic stone.
Let's discuss it. Let's see. Magic Stone Heals Sickness. It says when Polish plumber... Always has to be Polish. When Polish plumber Jacek Slomnowski dug up the drains. Is Slomnowski, is that Polish? Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to take it through the...
I'm guessing yes. That or is Native American. I can't tell.
Yeah.
From the Slomnowski tribe. Jacek Slomnowski dug up the drains under his house. He never expected to unearth a new career as a faith healer. But a strange stone that had been buried for hundreds of years had left him swamped with calls from people eager to be cured by his strange discovery. It's a huge Z carved into it, and as soon as I touched it, I felt this tremendous energy coming from it. Slomnowski recalled, drink up, guys. I've had a bad back for years, but all of a sudden all the pain left me and never returned. I don't understand it, Slomnowski says, but it works. And it's better than fixing broken toilets. So there you go, Slomnowski. He tried to fix his plumbing and found a treasure chest. What do you think?
60% of the time, it works every time.
Nice.
Do you know what I seen tonight? Good friend of the show, good friend of mine, Jerry. He's out there. He helped me with the floor this weekend, too. Special thanks to Jerry out there, guys, in the chat room. Special thanks to everybody in the chat room. Let's go through it real quick. We got Superman, we got Ghost Chaser, Sir Gareth, Shelley, Jerry, Opal Daisy, and Warpally. Thanks for joining us, guys, and thanks for, thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. I told you I was a little rusty, man. But he convinced me to watch The Fourth Kind.
Really?
I just watched that.
I was tripped out by that, man, because it's not your regular... little green man abducted me and my butt's sore. It was more like demonic possession. When they did the past life regression or whatever they were doing.
Now, were they showing the real past life regressions or recreations of it?
Well, it's all recreations. I mean, the whole thing is actually a mockumentary. It's not real, actually.
Okay. Well, I don't know, John. At the very beginning, they say the footage used in there is actual live footage, and they line it up next to...
Yeah, no, it's actually... I hate to let you down. It actually is those other ones are made to look fake. It's actually the whole thing is fake. It's actually totally true.
Really?
Yep. I didn't want to tell people that because it's definitely, but you got to put that in mind. That it actually is the whole story of that. There are people missing from that town. The town actually does exist. There's people missing, but it's not because of that. It was like it's a high murder capital town or something. I don't know. But it's actually made to be like a documentary. So it's not, but it's fake. It's actually a fake documentary. I don't know what you call it.
Well, you know, there's cases like that all over the United States, all over the world. And people have been experiencing things like that for centuries, man. And that's what, you know, tonight when we get to talk to about Skinwalker Ranch and stuff, they found, you know, deep inside the caves, the help me out here, Magnus.
I'm having fun listening to you do this. I'm having more fun watching it out.
They have the Indians, the cave drawings on the walls and stuff, mm-hmm. which what looked like the ancient Sumerian drawings and the ancient Mayan drawings. Of course, everybody has, it looks like these little alien figures, you know, when mm-hmm. they drew on. It could be something to it. Very interesting. We're going to get inside that tonight.
Oh, I can't wait for that. It's exciting.
It's going to be exciting. I think there is something to it. I think these cats from long ago, their imagination couldn't have been that.
Well, there's a whole, I mean, long string of things. I mean, I think that's like the Ute Indians are out where in the Utah.
The Ute. I just found out today. Utes, the Ute.
Yeah. Because that's where Utah comes from. The name is that way. There's also the... you know, Untia or some other tribe out there, same idea, same sounding thing. And they have a bunch of random paintings that are very similar to, like, what's found in, like, Pueblo, you know, in that area, but which is, they think it's a direct correlation. But then you look at the exact same people are showing up again in original Mayan carvings and texts, and images on walls and stuff. And it definitely pops up. Yeah, it definitely pops in the weirdest places. You have it all the way down to Africa. Had the couple matches.
Right. I had to add some humor in there. Okay, I got another.
Magnus is like a walking Encyclopedia Britannica. This is awesome.
Oh, I have a memory. It's funny, actually. If you follow me on like Twitter or anything else, I do always, like, I have like Factoid Fridays where I just throw out all the facts that are in my head randomly, and I actually like I'm setting up a website because people follow me on that and Facebook because I throw random factoids.
Facts, fam.
I can't remember like you know your name sometimes, but I'll tell you like you know I don't know the atomic weight of cobalt or something or whatever. But yeah, I'm just full of random facts. Who knew?
God. And that. Yeah. Just to wet your voice, John. Yeah, I need to tape it. Oh, baby.
I actually took off my clothes when he started talking.
I know you did. You're probably sweating. You're a sweater. Jason's a sweater. Oh, I did see something this weekend. I went to the Do It Best Center down here to find some flooring and some junk like that, and I was looking for knee pads because, you know, doing the floor. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, I found
They're
knee pads.
They're pink and fuzzy.
Yeah, they got chains that wrap around instead of leather bands. But I bought those, and right next to it was a case of what was called monkey butt instead of swamp ass. You know how I'm always joking about swamp ass? It's called monkey butt, and it actually had a picture of a monkey with an inflamed rectum, and this powder was for your butt, for you know, to
in case you were sweaty and like working and
Monkey butt. Look it up, guys. Buy a case of it. Monkey
Butt, the official sponsor of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. It's
that's it. Guys, we got another story from the G&D show archive. Should I?
By the way, Sean, just because I know you were wondering, it's 58.9, the atomic weight of cobalt, 58.9.
Yep.
Go ahead.
58.9.
Did you just go look that up?
Sadly, I did not. But that's only but that's about the only atomic weight I do know.
What is the weight of a six pack of Tecate beer? That's what I want to know. What is the
after Sean? Well, what about glass? I don't know. Negative.
It's
how
very low. Empty aluminum, friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Dialing in your sins, guys. Dialing in your sins. Apparently now you can call them in. French bishops are criticizing a new pay telephone line for Roman Catholics to confess their sins. A recorded message on the line of the Lord service says in a calm male voice, for advice on confessing, press 1. To confess, press 2. To listen to some confessions, press 3. In case of serious or mortal sins, that is sins that have cut you off from Christ or the Lord, it is indispensable to confide in a priest. The Conference of French Bishops has issued a statement clarifying that this service had no approval from the Catholic Church. Instead, it was the brainchild of a messaging service company. So there you go, guys. You can call in your sins. You don't have to go to church no more.
So can I have rollover sins too? Can I roll them over for the next month?
You can roll them over. You can save them. It reminds me of the mom and the kid, that the commercials when she rolls his eyes. He's like, these are old sins. I don't need to read them.
Yeah, this original sin. I don't want that one.
Sins, so I just roll all my stuff over to friends and family.
Nice.
I'm getting gypped. I'm paying 69. I'm paying 69 for internet everything on my Sprint, Sprint BlackBerry, which I heard that's not that bad.
I have an iPhone and it's like 100 and something a month. Yet it originally supposed to be $100. Then somehow all this other stuff is popping up and. Surprise.
I think I pay like $60 a month until Sean starts texting me, and then I immediately go over the 200 texts I'm allowed each month. And
and all the files he sends you, him and those little, like, you know, the banana hammocks.
Let me ask you, since Sean learned how to text, how many pictures of naked men have you received?
I don't know anymore, because as soon as I see Sean sent me a photo, I delete it before I look at it now, because the first time I opened it...
You can't unlearn things.
The first time I opened it,
I don't delete them, but I do turn the sound off.
Nice.
I'm bored and horny.
Break yourself, fool!
I like that one. That's my favorite. All right, let's see here. We got another one, guys, out of Fox News, foxnews.com. Pink Ouija board targeting young girls... riles critics. What do you guys think about Ouija boards? Pink Ouija boards, huh?
I think if you're gonna have a Ouija board, it should have style. There you go. It's
So I'm gonna request they make a Hannah Montana one.
Oh, I was gonna say that. That'd be great. Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers. It says a pink version of the popular Ouija board game has some critics seeing red. The children's sleepover stable. Sold by Hasbro since 1967, now comes in hot pink, an edition released 2 years ago that gets teens to call on spirits to spell out answers to life's pressing questions, like, does Johnny want to date me? So it says it's designed for young girls ages 8 and older, but some say the mysterious product is a dangerous spiritual game that opens up anyone, particularly Christians, to attacks on their soul. The game continues to be sold at Toys R Us locations in the U.S. and Canada for $19.99 retail value, although it's currently being phased out, company officials say. There's a spiritual reality to it, and Hasbro is treating it as if it's just a game, said Stephen Feelane, communications director for Human Life International, which bills itself as the largest international pro-life organization and missionary worldwide. It's not Monopoly, he says. It really is a dangerous spiritual game, and for Hasbro to treat it like just another game is quite dishonest.
See, I've lost a lot more sleep over Monopoly than I ever did a Ouija board.
See, I did too.
Well, that's just because you can't ever get sleep when you're playing Monopoly, because the game goes forever.
Yeah. I'm actually still playing a game right now.
Yeah.
That you started in 1984.
Yeah, my brother and I have been playing.
Are you the top hat or the dog?
I'm a race car. Come on.
I'm the race car.
Yeah.
I'm the
bum that has to sleep in all your hotels for free because you're friends of mine, because I can't afford it.
I haven't passed Go yet. When I get past Go, it'll be $200 for you, man.
Sean's also the friend that if you let sleep in your hotel room, that you have to have the sheets changed every morning.
You just have to throw away that card that says, you know, be green, save your sheets, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, just throw the card away.
Well, once he's been in it, there's no getting that stink out.
I lucked out when we were away filming, because I was just able to sleep inside one of Jason's boots. So,
gigantic book. Anyway, the cat's freaking out over it. Feelane says he's never played the game. Said the Bible states not to mess with spirits, and that using a Ouija board will leave person's soul vulnerable. vulnerable to attack. All Christians should know, well, everyone should, that is opening up a person to attack spiritually, he said Christians shouldn't use it. Ask how the game differed from Magic Kits or Harry Potter-themed merchandise. Feline replied, the difference is the Ouija board is actually a portal to talk to spirits, and it's hard to get people to understand that until they actually do it. I don't pretend to know how it works, but it actually does.
It's a hot pink Ouija board. The spirits are going to pop out and go, hello?
Yeah. Right.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
I would do it.
The answer is, you know, nobody knows what it's saying because all the letters end with like six or seven S's at the end.
Yeah, so the only thing that comes through is the ghost of Richard Simmons' career.
Did you guys know how all these old guys, right? They struggle all their lives. Then when they pass away, it seems like their stuff's a fortune. Well, Charles Dickens goes to the dogs. He says a pet collar sells at auction for $11,590. Wow. It was a dog. Yeah, it was a dog collar that once belonged to beloved author Charles Dickens. Fetched $11,590 at an auction in New York City. Dickens struggled to make a living through his writings when he was alive, but since his death, everything he comes into contact with, which I wouldn't think is much since he's dead, has turned to solid gold. The widely read author of such classics as David Copperfield, A Christmas Carol, Oliver Twist, and A Tale of Two Cities was a big-time dog lover like many of his fellow Victorian English gentlemen. The dog collar is made from leather and brass, but it's not known which of Dickens' precious pets adorned the dog collar. But it did.
It was his girlfriend. That's a funny thing.
They sold Charles Dickens' toothpick, ivory-carved toothpick, for $9,150 last year.
Now, do you know that when Dickens was a little boy, his father actually went to debtor's prison? And in the time, if you went to debtor's prison, your whole family went with you. So they all lived in like a cell, and the family would have to go away in the morning and go work to pay off their father's debt. But the father had actually brought the maid with them to prison to take care of him during the day while the family went out and worked to pay off his debt.
Nice.
So,
got the life.
A little bit different there than prison today. Of course,
I got something real cool here, guys.
If there were debtor prisons today, then just about everybody with a credit card right now would be in prison. So, what are you gonna do?
We kind of are in prison sometimes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like you got to go to work every day. You got to put in your time every day. You just get to go home. That's how it feels. But what's your favorite movie snack?
That's it. That was it.
Chubba-rama, that's the way the life, right there. What your favorite movie snack reveals about you guys? This was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So everybody here loves to go to the movie theaters, right?
Yep.
Yep.
So let's see here. I'm going to give you guys categories.
Okay.
Jason, this is for you first. Gummy bears, popcorn, M&Ms, nachos, or Milk Duds?
Popcorn.
You'll say yes. Oh,
popcorn
wait.
Says you're... Oh, oh. your generous heart and natural affection for people make you a popular person who would automatically choose a snack you could share with others, or at least cut a hole in the bottom of it. You're also a deep thinker. Oh, my God. A deep thinker who can be counted on for wise advice. But although you're modest about your accomplishments, you do have the drive and determination it takes to successfully reach the lofty goals you set for yourself.
Number one, it's Chubby-rama. Woo, we can do it. Number one.
Yeah, we can go all the way, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I should add the Chubby-rama link to the Friends of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
We should. We need that.
No, we don't need to do that ever.
So Nathan,
we need to let that die. I don't want to keep reliving it. I don't want to know that some random people out there have pleasured themselves to me.
Well, yes,
let's just go on with the idea that we all had that no one has ever been pleasured by Jason Gowen.
I would say that could be carved in stone.
I'm going to bring an entire protest sheet full of people who disagree with that, Nathan.
What were my choices there again, Sean?
I was just laughing at what you said. Zing! I would say people... Nobody's ever been never been pleasured by him. Gummy bears, popcorn, M&Ms, nachos, and milk duds.
Well, actually, I'm more of a Raisinets guy, but milk duds are as close as they come there, so let's say milk duds.
Milk duds it is. While you crave the company of others, you do require sufficient time alone with your own thoughts. Is that what they're calling it? Is that what they're calling it
That's
now?
What they're calling it these days.
This yin and yang mirror is your distinctive snack. Chocolate shell covering, soft caramel. Your emotions can sometimes be over the top, but you're such an exciting, vivacious person that others are drawn by your lust for life, and you're always ready for a new group activity.
He loves to melt the chocolate on his nipples.
Yeah.
Okay. Only at certain movies, Jason.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
So I think everyone should make sure to go to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter and bring up just the main page and have your pictures. Looking at the image they have for the Extreme Paranormal image of you three standing there is definitely helping this moment right now. Everyone should open up that page and look at it and then picture what they're describing. And with the Gowan one, I had to walk away from the microphone. I was laughing. Nathan
and
definitely more.
And because you were turned on.
Oh, yeah.
Mildly aroused.
I get confused. I should talk into the microphone or my penis. Similar size. I can't tell.
Oh.
But you got one of those. Thin,
you got one of those
light.
Little mics then?
Well, it's cold in New York. Come on.
He got one of those little handheld. Those little clip-ons. Oh, John.
It's handheld, I can tell you. Many hands, but handheld.
That's it. So, John, what about you? M&M's, nachos, milk duds, gummy bears, or popcorn?
I'm going to go for, let's see, what did Gowan pick, the first one?
I picked popcorn.
I'll go for M&M then.
M&M?
Yeah.
The flavorings of this candy appeals to your romantic side.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yeah, and your unflinching belief in love has you always looking for a happy ending in both real and real life.
That is totally true.
In real life. You're so laid back and low key that you rarely lose your cool in any situation. That's true. I can attest for that. While your instinctively keen insight often leads to the brilliant solution of a nagging problem.
That is, I'll bow to this when that sounds great, and I'll take that description.
That's it.
Sold.
So, what are you listeners around the world? Are you
wait. We don't know what you snack on at the movies, Sean.
Yeah. Well, I got
buttery popcorn.
Name is Steve.
Yeah. I like popcorn. You popcorn.
You like popcorn.
He goes in. He found the prize one time with Gowan. He found Gowan. Yeah. He jumped back in. Just face first, jumps in the box, just goes right for it.
Jumping in, baby. Oh. Hey, did you guys hear about this? Dead Steve Irwin tells dad everything's okay and wears my socks. You guys hear about that?
I did not.
That story before we go to our break. Come on.
It's breaking news, comes to news.com. It says, in the wacky turf of LaToya Jackson, Bob Irwin has gone public about a beyond the grave dialogue with Steve. Woman's Day reports that psychic Deb Weber hooked Bob up with his late son during a private reading at his remote Queensland property, according to the Courier Mail. Bob said the psychic left him with goosebumps by relaying things only he and Steve knew about. The clincher.
He likes crocodiles. Oh, my God. How did
Bloody
you know?
God. the clincher,
Crikey.
It says, Steve wanted to know what Bob had done with the old socks and had he pitched him years ago. We talked about so many things, some too personal to talk about, Bob said. He told me everything is okay, not to be sad, and to keep up the fight to continue looking after the animals.
And kill all stingrays.
Yeah, kill all stingrays.
Yeah.
Is somebody playing with a vibrator or a cell phone? Or? And that's the news, everybody. That's the news.
Crikey. You know, I love when people come up to me and they say, when the whole thing with Steve Irwin first happened, they were sitting there going, you know, oh, my God, I can't believe he was killed by an animal that's totally, like, harmless. And I'm sitting there going, it killed him. How harmless could it be?
It was a stingray. That's why they call him Sting. Just like that chick was playing with those killer whales in the tank at SeaWorld. Did you guys hear about that? That happened, about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we were kids, they would actually let you on your birthday come down and kiss Shamu or whatever. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I bet they don't let you do that no more.
Well, you know, this reminds me a lot. There was a case just very similar to this a few years back where in the 90s, where either, I think it was another girl swimming with Shamu or one of the whales, it grabbed her in the mouth and pulled her down underwater and wouldn't let her back up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she survived, unlike this case, but yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Yes, I know. I know.
Yeah. Killer whales kill people. In other news, Snuggle Whale is still snuggling. You know? What do you expect?
What you get? You get kitties, and then you
was
get...
it like the whale's time of the month or anything? Like,
oh, Jason! It's you know, the thing is, I go up to Mystic Aquarium up here, and I've actually gotten to get into the tanks with the beluga whales.
That's a bar, awesome. Isn't it? Mystic Aquarium.
Mystic Aquarium. Well, I think they have a bar in there, but it's actually one of the big aquariums up here, and.
With my mama.
I did not. I went in and got to actually get in the tank with the beluga whales, and it's very cool because they're the whales that the killer whales eat, so they're not as dangerous. You know, they have they're plant eaters, so that I was cool with that. But I've always wanted to get in the tank with the killer whales, and now I'm not so sure. It's
yeah, I've swam with dolphins, but I've never swam with whales.
Yeah.
See, I heard dolphins.
See, I have. I've been down in Florida, and some of those people down there, they shouldn't be on the beach swimming around. I keep pushing them back in the water, you know, trying to help people out, push them back in the water. They're just screaming at me. They're not whales or people, but I don't believe them. So.
We got some good stories next week, guys, so make sure to tune back in. We got a possible new human ancestor that was found last week, and an exorcist.
Call it John.
Exorcism went bad in Ireland this week. So I'm going to save those stories for next week. Make sure to tune in. Don't want to miss them.
Well, guys, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Ryan
Burns from Hero Paranormal. Guys, this cat is off the hook. He's been researching for years and years and years, and the things he's seen and the people he's talked to, it will just blow your mind. But it's a very touchy subject, what we go into tonight. So we got to... We got to stay cool with it because, you know, who knows who could be listening, man. This is a major, major thing owned by a major, major corporation now, and they don't really like people talking about what's going on out there.
Well, you know, let's just we won't push for the answers, but we'll ask what we can. And be sure and be in the chat room. Send any questions our way you want to ask. But like I said, if we can't ask him and he can't answer them, we're just gonna have to go with it.
Probably just didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, tonight's band of the week, guys, because here at the G&D show, we all support local, or not local bands, but independent bands. And this week's band is Engineering the Enemy, and the song is When We Collide. It rocks. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
We'll be right back.
Ellen.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the njghs.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at podcastalley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.
We'll be right back.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
This is T. Thorne Coyle, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here! Bum, 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 bum.
Yes, yes, indeedy. It is Sunday night. We are back, the second half of the show here, guys. Hope you liked the music. That was, once again, Engineering the Enemy was the band's name. You can check more out them garageband.com. Tell them the G&D show sent you.
Well, brother, let's keep going. I'm trying to reconnect with Magnus Apollo, John Magnus.
We got a very special guest out tonight. He's actually out in the field as we speak, and he took time out of his busy schedule. Mr. Ryan Burns from Hero Paranormal joins us. Ryan, how you doing?
Doing good, Sean. How are you?
I'm great, brother. Hey, we got myself and Nathan Schoonover and Jason Gowan here with us in studio tonight.
Hi.
And so they'll be asking you questions too. And I guess where I wanted to start with you, Ryan, and guys, I got to tell you, Ryan Burns, the things he's done speaks for itself. Go to heroparanormal.com. Look at his footage. Look at his pictures. Look at the research that Ryan's done. It's going to amaze you, I guarantee it. Then you'll have plenty of questions to ask him tonight in the chat room. But, Ryan, what I wanted to start out, why this line of work, brother? Why? I mean, you could have done anything. Why? What made you get into this? Was it a young age or what?
You know, I was a little bit behind the curve on this one. In the mid-90s, a cattle ranching family moved into a ranch here in a rural part of Utah. Uh-huh. And I was a little bit behind the curve on it, but I just had some events in my own life that kind of ended me up there, almost by kind of a divine intervention. But I've kind of been nose of the grindstone since then.
Now, what kind of equipment? Now, a lot of us have been ghost hunters. We've looked at that side of the paranormal. And we're joined by John Magnus. He's in the house tonight. He's a good friend of the show. He's a cryptozoologist. And now I know you guys do different types of things. What kind of equipment do you use? What kind of process? What kind of techniques?
You know, a ton of different processes. A lot of game cameras, night vision of different technologies of night vision. You know, one of my personal favorites, which I found was a lot of fun, is I went with a group, a friend of a friend who went up, and they took a Frank's box, and we went out in the field, and that was interesting. So that,
oh, yeah.
That kind of brought in.
Was that the Radio Shack hack? Is that the little Radio Shack that they adapt?
Oh, no. This was one of Frank's custom deals. Yeah, her name was April Slaughter. She's actually a friend of mine now, and she brought this along, a box that Frank had given her. And we had some interesting stuff on that as well.
Now, have you ever, since there's so much alien activity, gone up with maybe one of the Ovilisk or Puck pieces that can actually translate EMF readings?
You know, I have. I went up with some other ghost hunters to a nearby area, and they did have exactly that unit, and it was interesting as well. Definitely not the stuff I use on a day-to-day basis, but I think it's kind of interesting when you isolate that particular technology, how that also can give results.
Well, what kind of things was the Ovilisk saying?
Let's see. A lot of warnings, danger, and basically like a lot of horrendous stuff that I thought was pretty interesting. Also, it was all said in a young girl's voice, which I thought was a little interesting as well.
Huh.
Wait, what?
On the Ovilisk?
Or now, wait Frank's a minute. Box. Is the Ovilisk the one that is more of a computer-generated voice?
Yes. Yeah, the Ovilisk sounds like a speaking spell.
Oh, okay. I am a ghost, kind of thing.
yep. You know, with the Ovilisk, I can't exactly remember. Again, there was a lot of warnings, things like that. It was the Frank's box that we actually got the young girl's voices. And what's really interesting about that is, you know, on other trips, we've heard very spooky things as well, like children running around. And I mean, this is an area where if you're letting your kids run around here, there's something seriously wrong with you, because it's very dangerous, a very dangerous area, very isolated, very, you know, I mean, it's just not the type of place
the person whom you're trying to reach.
Dog.
Well, I got to tell you, Ryan, it's been about 7 years ago when a lady walked up to me and Nathan was at a conference, and she said something to me about Skinwalker Ranch. And she said, you have to check this place out. And she started talking to me briefly about it. And, I mean, she went from werewolves to ghosts to aliens to monsters. I mean, just the lady hit everything known to the paranormal. And she said, you got to check this place out. And I said, you know, where's it at? Of course, she said, in Utah. And nothing happened there for the longest time. And then I found Hero Paranormal. And I found the work that you've been doing and some of the things that you've done. Now, I don't know what you feel comfortable with talking about. I know it's very top secret projects. There's a lot of things going on. I'd really like to discuss Skinwalker Ranch, the history, the beginning, and tell our listeners a little bit about the place, if we could.
Sure. You know, I've been very lucky to run into all the right people. All of the researchers were doing the stuff in the early 90s. I'm actually really close friends with the guy that actually broke the story, first person to ever be allowed on the ranch, Ryan Layton. And, you know, luckily these guys are willing to pass the torch to me, so to speak. Dave Rosenfeld, a lot of previous investigators have kind of blazed the way. Basically what it is, it's the Utah Ranch. The Native Americans in the area have always known that something was going on there. Seems like it took us a while to figure it out. Right. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it includes killer lights at night, unexplained events, poltergeist activity, alien beings, portals, horrendous cattle mutilations, cryptozoological, like, just absolutely anomalous creatures running around, everything you can imagine, from small velociraptors, winged animals, Bigfoot, werewolves. I mean, pretty much anything you could think of has been seen there.
Wow, so it's like a paranormal party out there.
Yeah, it's like Disneyland out there.
Well, yeah. if you guys go to heroparanormal.com, do it after the show, because we don't want to lose you. You don't want to miss a second of Ryan here. But after the show, go to his website, heroparanormal.com. That's right. Right, Ryan?
That's right.
Check it out. Check out the pictures. They're amazing. I mean, and also go to skinwalkerranch.org. Check out the pictures there. The things that Ryan has actually seen and documented around the area of the ranch, not on the ranch, but around the area, has been an amazing stuff. Could you tell us some of the stuff you found out there, Ryan?
You bet. Almost right off the bat, the first
Ryan, before you go on, is somebody there with you, or did one of you guys just whisper?
No. Oh, no.
All right.
I'm here alone.
I got to check this time. 54:23. You're on a case, aren't you?
I am.
I just heard somebody say something, a soft voice, and so let me just mark this down.
No, I hate when this stuff happens, and I'm alone.
We're getting EVP interviewing Ryan, maybe. That's good.
That could be. I mean, it was like literally I just heard a voice, and mentally my brain wants to say it said get out, but, you know, that's what all EVP sounds like on the first try. I'll have to come back later and see if I can find exactly what that is.
Great. Now I'm just holding my puppy, terrified.
Now, Ryan, you're actually in a tent right now. I was trying to tell the guys earlier, you are outdoors. You're in the middle of the stuff right now.
I am. I'm out here out and back of some people that were nice enough to let me be on their property. You know, that's good. I'm excited about that. It's just wild the places you end up. You know, the people that I've met, you know, researching kind of what I like to call the Skinwalker territory, which I've found is everywhere from Vernal all the way to Fruitland, which, I mean, encompasses a huge, just vast amount of acreage.
Right.
All kinds of unexplained events going on.
Can I ask you something, though, Ryan?
You bet.
I've done my research on Skinwalker Ranch, and I did see it's owned by Bigelow Aerospace.
Absolutely.
Why is it? And I've seen pictures and stuff like this. Why is it that it reminds me of a bad V movie? Remember the movie V with the alien people running around? They were real nice on the outside, but when you went to the base, they ripped their faces off and they were all lizards. Why is it that
my
it reminds
me?
Well, you got these people rolling around on ATVs, armed guards with patches that have alien faces on them. I mean, what's going on out there, man?
You know, I think, you know, I mean, Robert Bigelow, I mean, to be honest with you, is one of my heroes for sure. Anybody that can do what he's done and brought that much emphasis and focus on this particular field is, you know, just a hero in my mind.
Sure.
I think the main thing that's kind of tarnished Bigelow Aerospace's image, previously known as NIDS, is that locals obviously have kind of done their own investigative work, the ones that live around there.
Am I here? Hold on. Am I back?
We got Magnus back, guys. We got Magnus.
I'm very sorry. It's been the weirdest thing. I've been vanishing in and out here. But the first time I went out, it gets odd sounds. Everyone's voice slows down to this gargled, like, growly sound on the thing.
No. Maybe
and
you're being abducted.
The thing is my dog, I have this little Boston Terrier, he starts growling out, like standing in the hallway, growling down the hallway. I'm on the second story of a building right now.
Thankfully, my puppy is fast asleep.
Well, we're talking to Ryan, and Nathan thought he caught an EVP, so.
Everything went screwy, and now my dog is like, he just jumped into my lap, and he doesn't do that. I'm like, okay, what the heck's going on here?
The black helicopter is right over your house, Magnus.
I'm blaming the Illuminati. They don't want me to talk about this stuff.
Hey, it's never the Illuminati's fault.
We said,
Illuminati.
Don't be surprised if the black helicopter show up after tonight's interview. Because you never know.
Yeah. Armed with Velociraptor.
Not again.
Well, we're sorry. We interrupted you there, Ryan, because I really want to hear what you were saying there about that.
Oh, not at all. I guess the reason they've kind of gotten a bad rap, and in my opinion, I mean, definitely these people will tackle you. They will, I mean, you will be arrested, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I'm sure, you know, being in the aerospace industry, they have some security issues and have some things to protect. and I respect that. I think more than anything, the locals have kind of filled in a lot of the blanks and have kind of tarnished Bigelow's image, because they are aware that there is a security force there. It's not something you commonly see in the area. 24-hour security cameras, not, again, something you don't see in this rural part of the state. And, you know, with that little bit of knowledge that they have, you know, the floodgates have opened to conspiracy theories and all kinds of crazy. You know, it's an underground base. They're doing experiments. I mean, there's just all kinds of different conspiracy theories, when in reality, I honestly think that the only thing we may be dealing with, or they may be investigating, is portal technology.
Portal technology. Now, that would be from portal moving from time travel or something like that?
You know, I don't know that they know, and I definitely don't claim to know. I just think that with the amazing unexplained animals, people have seen aliens. I've seen things that just have blown me away.
So,
and, I mean,
this is
really
basically
the only reasonable explanation.
This is basically the woods in that British TV series where they're hunting down futuristic aliens and primeval. Thank you. Yes, it's that's basically what we're dealing with here. Portals leading to velociraptors and rat people. Okay.
No rat people yet.
Okay, Sean, was that your screech?
That was not me.
That was Gowan. That was totally Gowan.
That was me.
Okay, I was making sure. I'm hearing weird things here. I just got to know.
Well, you got Ryan out on an investigation. You never know what could happen.
Now, Ryan, Yikes. What kind of investigation is this?
Right now, the investigation I'm on is actually northeast of what's known as the Skinwalker Territory, and it's basically I've gotten some permission to be on some private property and investigate some caverns that have had lights going in and out of them. Also, the Native Americans claim that some of their ancestors spoke of gold caches and Spaniards putting things inside these caverns. So, you know, to be honest, it's been a long day. Haven't found anything, but it's been, you know, night's just here, so it may get better.
Ooh. Right. And you don't have to go to work tomorrow, right? So you can do it all night.
That's right.
Hey, now, getting back to the Skinwalker Ranch, can you explain to me what a Skinwalker is, Ryan? How it got that nickname?
You know, it's a really hard thing to describe because it encompasses so much: shapeshifting, werewolves, people. Basically, the best way to explain it is a shaman gone bad, or a Native American witch with like a ton of power.
Right. Well, I
mean,
because
the original Skinwalkers, those were the true term Skinwalker, Native American. It's like, you're saying that with they were used to, like you said, they put animal skins on to transform things that way. So it actually was a Native American, you know, one of those heavy myths, lores they had around there.
So could they put on the skin of any animal and become it?
Depending, some places, depending on where you were, different skinwalker ideologies throughout Native American cultures have all been kind of different. Some would be bears. Maybe up north it could be. You know, you want to relive the Happy Feet scene with a penguin, you're more than welcome to find one.
Well, I got to ask you, Ryan, how does it feel to be standing in the snow next to a 8-inch long, what looks like a raptor footprint in the snow? I mean, what's that feel like when you come upon something like that?
You know, at first, I'll be honest, a lot of I was scared to death at first, and once you've been out there a lot, it almost, you know, it just becomes normal. you know, I find that a lot of times when I go with people who are skeptics, I love going with skeptics because they are just the funnest.
Right.
And, you know, every skeptic I've gone with has come back a believer, and
now I gotta argue. The funnest for me is taking Jason places and watching him run.
Something else.
What?
I said the most fun for me is taking Jason places and watching him run away.
I don't run away. I cower. There's a big difference.
Yeah, that nothing about Jason screams the word run to me. I'm sorry.
So Ryan, after doing my research on the ranch, there's two caves located on the property or around the property. I'm not sure. And inside, the Ute Indians, I believe I pronounced that right, have cave drawings of what looks like very clearly to be spacemen, men in spacesuits. Did you ever get to see any of these? I mean,
basically, the theory is that, you know, there are caves where the skinwalkers lived. And, you know, as far as the petroglyphs with spaceships, spacemen, they are just riddled throughout a canyon named Nine Mile Canyon. Just west of the Skinwalker Ranch. Mm-hmm. And this Nine Mile Canyon, I mean, I've seen so many petroglyphs with so many different craft that it's just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And, I mean, these petroglyphs are just ancient.
Do you think the Ute Indian have a maybe like a working agreement with the UFO, the aliens? Because they've been around for so long and they seem to accept one another. I mean, you have the skinwalkers, which very clearly could be the Ute Indians. They believe in shape-shifting, stuff like that. I think we discussed that before, right, Ryan?
Absolutely.
So that could be the Ute Indians that are practicing their religion, whatever, and they're shape-shifting. And then people are still seeing the UFOs and everything. What do you you've had the chance to speak with a lot of Ute Indian people. What do they say when you talk about UFOs and werewolves and stuff like that?
You know, especially the elders, I've just noticed they have such a profound connection with the land that I don't know if I want that connection. I mean, they, you know, I'll be talking to them and show them some footage that is absolutely mind-blowing, and they'll say, oh, yeah, that's a skinwalker. And that's the end of the conversation. Like, in their mind, this exists, this is how it is, and this is the way it's always been.
Wow. Wow. So that's it. That's a skinwalker, and that would be a wolf that stands upright.
Correct.
Okay. Can you tell us about any other kind of experiences that people have told you about or anything like that you've done so much. Just take the mic and run with it. You've researched Bigfoot. You've done all kinds of different stuff. Tell us about one of your greatest investigations.
Oh gosh, they're all great. They are all great.
I miss it. Actually.
You know, one of my favorite investigations would have to be one of the first times that I actually came up to the area. And I mean, it was the lottery ticket for me. It's what sold me on everything. And, you know, I was with some other investigators and we had basically colored lights come in so close to us spinning. They almost looked like police lights. Right. And in fact, you know, at first we thought they were police lights until we realized there was no headlights, there was no tires, there was no sound of the car on the ground, absolutely nothing. And there was even a loudspeaker speaking some kind of, it sounded like Romulan or something, some type of alien language. We all heard it. It was coming right up on us. And I mean, we were just sitting ducks. And when I realized, you know, the very little that I'd learned is that it plays off of your fear. And when I realized that it was playing off of our fear, and I said, that's not a cop car, we don't have to worry, it pixeled out, you know, just a matter of 70 yards away. It just, I mean, it was right on us, and it just pixeled out almost like it was a hologram.
Now, how far do these ships usually hover above you?
You know, I have to say that the vast majority of the lights you see in the area are going to be At least they start ground base or 6 to 7 feet off the ground, which is really weird. Most of them start on ridges, and just you know, they'll start to get brighter and brighter, almost like they're not really there. And then when they become what they are, then they have, you know, free range, and they can go as high, as low, either direction that they want.
What do you believe, Ryan, is going on out there? Do you believe this is everything? The skinwalkers, the aliens, raptors? Do you believe this stuff is happening here?
You know, it's not a question of if it's happening, because it's definitely happening.
Right.
More than 50% of the population here in the Uinta Basin has seen a UFO. And, I mean, it's a massive area. So it's not a question of if it's happening. It's more what is happening. And I've gone down, you know, the alien route. I've gone down the skinwalker route. I've gone down, you know, the cryptozoological route. And I think they all come together. How? I don't know.
Now,
but,
you say people
portals
have...
The portal theory is the only thing that seems to hold any water as to how so much could happen.
But Ryan, that people have seen these lights come out above them and be above them, whatever. How many people have actually come face to face with either an alien creature or a skinwalker creature in this scenario?
Face to face, not that many. Especially with like alien beings or a skinwalker creature, more have actually encountered the upright skinwalker creature running alongside their vehicle at night. Actually, quite a few have encountered that. Not as many have come face to face with any alien beings.
But you've gotten these footprints on camera, and they're on your website.
There's quite a few different, you know, I talked to Sean earlier about it, and there's a lot of different types of footprints. But
right.
At any given moment, you can find something, usually.
You know,
now...
Oh, go ahead, Sean.
I was going to talk to you about the, I'm sorry, Ryan, what did you call it? Not the time warp, but the...
Portal?
Oh, the portal.
The portal, yeah. What? Let's break that down for people that don't know what that is out there. What is a portal?
Basically, a portal would be, and this is, you know, I'm by no means, you know, a portal employee, as we know some people in the government are. But
right.
Basically, from what I understand, it's going to be something similar to like a Stargate or a wormhole that tends to open up. If you could picture our reality being a ball, a portal would be a part of that ball where it's a lot thinner, the skin is a lot thinner than the rest, so
okay.
Thin, in fact, that things can move in and out of it.
Okay. Did you guys get that? I understand that.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around the physics aspect of it. So would it be something that energy could travel through and then be put back together?
Not so much. It's more of, and this, like I said, I'm no expert on it, but basically it's an area where alternate realities, and I mean, according to science, from what I've gathered, is, you know, our government does spend a certain amount on portal technology every year. And there's, how can I put this? I mean, really and truly, the biggest developments that could come from portals would be space travel. You know, from that aspect, I can see the most benefit there.
Right.
The drawback is all these other things that come with it. And, you know, it's basically where a different dimension is allowed to come into our own. A lot like a residual haunting. It's kind
right.
of the same theory. It's
okay.
an area where it's kind of a highway, and unfortunately in skinwalker territory, that particular area is kind of a super highway where all kinds of different things are sharing the road here.
Now, how close could someone get to this territory without being tackled by security?
You know, the territory itself is huge. So, I mean, there's plenty of spots you can go and not infringe on, you know, the private property aspect. So, you know, the ranch itself is 480 acres, give or take a few. And, you know, I would say that Skinwalker territory is going to encompass hundreds of miles. So really and truly, it's just those people that push their luck and, you know, think that you have to get in the ticket booth that, you know, wind up in trouble.
Hey, Ryan, what caused the previous owner to sell the 465-acre ranch to Bigelow? Mr. Bigelow, what caused that? Do you know?
I do. It was a cattle ranching family and a tough one at that. They were definitely, you know, people that handled a lot more than the average family could. They had a lot of poltergeist activity, tons of crafts, bluish lights. They called them bluish orbs, about the size of basketballs, that would fly around, play with the cattle, play with the dogs, scare the hell out of everybody. They tended to give or emit a really deep intrinsic fear whenever they were around.
I would love to see that. My God, that's amazing.
Find all kinds of really horrendous stuff going on to this family. And, you know, they really held out a lot longer than I think any other family would. Robert Bigelow came in and kind of eased the situation, purchased the ranch, and in my opinion is doing a really good thing and trying to figure out what's going on there.
But he's keeping the territory that he has kind of locked off for his research.
Absolutely. I mean, it is private property, and I can understand, you know, it would be very – the last thing you would want as a billionaire is to have a lawsuit of somebody that got eaten by a velociraptor or you know, that's taking it to the extreme.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
I mean, that's I'm kind of being joking. I'm trying to joke around a little bit, and that's taking it to the extreme. But, I mean, I think more or less he does want to keep people safe and doesn't want people to, you know – fall, Ryan, break their ankles.
Ryan, people are trying to figure out what the humming noise is, and there's like weird noises happening. Is it near you? Is there
I hope not.
Guys, are any of you guys having weird noises occurring?
No, I heard that though. It sounded like a woo.
Yeah, there was like a woong kind of sound that came through.
You know, back to the ranch, does happen to a lot of mechanical sounds that here.
Is Jason okay, by the way? Is Jason Gowan, is he dying over there?
No, why? What's going on?
Well, we're trying to figure out what these weird sounds are coming through the microphones.
No, I'm just sitting here.
Oh, I like sure. The heavy panting was from somewhere else.
Hey, Ryan, I seen The Fourth Kind today. The movie.
Okay.
And I was checking that out. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not, but it showed that, you know, the little green men and the fun and stuff with the little green men, the little gray men, a lot of these people, and I've actually heard real reports where these people have been abducted or whatever, and it's not a walk in the park. These people, when they've had therapy or whatever, it's kind of like more like demonic possession than what you would think of as alien abduction, but I definitely think something's going on here. And what do you think the aliens abduction? How do you think that works? Do you think that's something that's happening in the United States or all over the world?
You know, I think it's something that's definitely happening when you look at the evidence. It's such a huge dilemma and situation that, you know, I feel really kind of small trying to explain it or trying to get my feet wet in it. The only thing I have to rely upon is the actual conversations I've had with abductees and contactees here in the area. And like you said, it's no walk in the park. I mean, there's some definite ugly stuff going on to these people, and either they're completely out of their minds or, in my opinion, there is something going on.
Now, but you're staying behind somebody's house tonight investigating all this stuff going on. Are people off the ranch living in the area, do they feel in danger by any of this stuff going on?
Not really. I, you know, to be honest, I, I worked as a fly fishing guide for about 9 years, and I figured I was pretty tough. And I moved down here, and basically, you know, everybody around here is just tough as nails, and they're not scared. These are the type of people that if something's in their backyard, they, you know, they grab the shotgun and they go back there and figure out what it is. And, you know, a lot of the reports that come in are just like that. They go back there expecting to see a cougar or, you know, some kind of predatory animal. And what they end up seeing is a craft or
Jason Gowen naked running around.
Yeah.
You see that sometimes too in basements usually.
Hey, well, people pay good money to see that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I recently had a situation here. For those of you who know from the early shows, I live just outside the haunted woods of Danbury, Connecticut. And I heard the most horrible screaming in the middle of the night. It was muffled, sounded like somebody was screaming, no, no, no. And I grabbed a gun and ran outside to see what was going on. And, you know, a cat was in a tree, like scared to death. And as I started to walk up, I started thinking, the scream sounds a little too much the same every time it's happening for it to be a person. You know, it's too monotone, or however you want to say it. And all of a sudden, I remembered that when I first moved to Connecticut 10 years ago, I had heard something similar, and it turned out to be foxes. And sure enough, a fox stuck its head up from behind a cluster of rocks, and I put the gun away. But, you know, you can hear things and not necessarily know what they are and run out. And I would really be upset if I had run out and faced a velociraptor. I think I probably would have not been happy about that.
Right.
That was a joke, Sean. You know. It was a joke.
You know, the raptor incident that actually, it's kind of comical. The raptor incident that happened on the ranch happened to
the comical raptor story. I love this story already. It's just perfect. The comical raptor story. You know, you have me so locked in here, it's not even funny.
I know. And one of the, this was actually part of the NIDS team or Bigelow's team who was investigating the ranch at the time. And, you know, they basically followed this creature that was raptor-like. They didn't say it was a raptor, and they're really, really, really technical about that. They want to make sure everybody knows it was just raptor-like. It wasn't, you know, a raptor per se. It was just dinosaur-like. And this particular researcher, one of the ones involved, he quit after that night. I mean, after he saw that, he was done.
Wow.
So, I mean, it has that effect on people.
Well, I could. I don't know what I'd do if I seen something like that, but
I want to see the raptor.
That's the thing,
Sean,
in your line of work.
Never girl.
In your line of work, Ryan, you never know what you're going to stumble onto. You found all these great footprints. Next time, there might be something standing in one.
Yeah, this is a really fresh footprint. Oh crap! Oh.
Yeah, it's right there. So right there, what's your backup plan? Do you keep weapons or anything like that on you in case you're attacked?
You know, to be honest with you, in most situations, I don't. It's only when I do really deep forest stuff, when I'm usually going on a Bigfoot expedition or something like that, that I'll carry something.
I mean, that's for logically, because there is mountain lions and things over there, right? I mean, there is predators, you know, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's just a sane notion to have.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Ryan, we got to get ready to wrap up here in a few minutes, and I know you're busy because you're out there doing the investigation. I got to ask you, though, Skinwalker Ranch, what is going on out there? What do you think? Do you think it's the Indian? Do you think it's the wormholes? Do you think it's all the above? I mean, what do you think? If you
honestly
can answer that.
You know, the more time I put in, the less answers I have. It just brings up more questions.
Well, that's good, because that's what investigating should do, bring more questions. I agree. With myself.
I totally agree with yourself, too.
Think you're the only one there, Nate.
I guess so. I haven't heard from Jason in 20 minutes, so.
Yeah, I know.
I keep talking, but nobody ever hears me for some reason.
So, Ryan, what are you going to do tonight? How late's the investigation run, man?
I'm probably just going to hope I have enough film here and just set up some cameras and see what happens.
There you go. So you'll be up until the early morning hours, huh?
Probably at least another 3 hours on the investigation.
Well, it's always nice to have a small TV, you know, when you're out there.
Hey, we didn't even have TV when we went to Whisper, Sean.
That's true. We didn't.
We were inside. We didn't have TV.
Yeah, what's up with that? There was no television.
There was a giant, like, 60-inch screen TV in one room, but it wasn't hooked up to anything. So couldn't even watch DVDs. I don't know.
Yeah, it was even a flat screen.
Yeah, it was.
Just couldn't watch anything. But I got to tell you, Ryan, I can't tell you how much it meant that you came on the show tonight. And, you know, you got to talk to us a little bit about Skinwalker Ranch and what it is that you do. And we'd love to have you back on the show. I know you're on the investigation, so I really want to let you get back to that.
You bet, Sean. Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks. Thanks for what you're doing. You're doing an amazing thing out there, and I hope you keep doing it.
And folks, Hero Paranormal, H-E-R-O Paranormal.com. Check it out. I'm scrolling down the pictures right now. There's stuff
it's
on
amazing.
Here that I just can't explain. It's we're running out of time, and I know we have to wrap up, but I mean, there's the zoomed-in photo of something that, you know, looking at it at first, I'd think it was a bobcat if it was from a distance, but zoomed in, you can't tell what it is. And zooming in, you should be able to see what's going on there. And
oh, I've had dates that go like that.
Well, yeah, that's because, you know, Jason, you gotta look at them before you start drinking.
Sean roofied you. Ha-ha.
That's it. How's that feel, buddy?
You can't roofie the willing.
No, you can totally roofie the willing. You just can't do anything else with them. That's true.
But
Ryan,
thank you so much. Again, folks, heroparanormal.com. Check it out. Definitely, I'm thrilled to have had you on tonight, Ryan, and thrilled to know what you find. And I'm thrilled to go back tonight and listen to that clip and see if I can find if anything is on it.
I heard stuff.
Thanks for having me on. Be blessed, guys.
You too, man. And we will talk to you soon for sure. We're going to come to Utah and investigate with you.
The hell we are.
All right, guys.
I'm so there.
Have a good night, Ryan.
Have a good night, Ryan. Enjoy the investigation.
You bet.
All right, guys. And Sean, it's that time. We got to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log onto our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And be sure and check in with us next week. It will be Sunday, and it will be April, Sean. And you know what? We're not gonna be able to do an April 1st show because that actually falls on a Thursday, but we'll do the April 4th show. Can't do the April 1st. We'll do the April 4th show.
We're gonna have to get the guys back, Magnus and Jason, for every show. I like this. I like having a full house, man.
It does. I can sit back and work the controls here and not have to talk to you all night.
It's good to be back.
I actually got to numb myself from Sean's voice and the annoying cat scratching sound that it makes in my heart.
In your soul, baby.
And folks, on that note and everything else, hey, guys, don't go away. I haven't talked to you guys in a few weeks. Don't hang up on me when we're done. Because Sean, it's that time and we got to go. And you got to say it, Sean.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great week. And don't go change it, folks. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, a slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass. I'm living from day to day.
to do just makes me wanna sing to those heathens and hooligans. You won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else, but right now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this. I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans.